Our verses today are from Ezekiel chapter 36 and chapter 37, selected verses. In Ezekiel's, well, God says, I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man. Say to it, this is what the Lord God says. Breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath entered them, and they came to their and stood to their feet, a vast army. The Lord says, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be a permanent covenant with them. I will establish and multiply them and will set my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God. They will be my people when my sanctuary is among them forever. The nations will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel. So, Bell Press, God is concerned about his reputation in the world, and he hates when he gets a bad name. But God has a plan. He wants to see his good world restored to his original intention. So when he says that he will make his dwelling place with us, he is saying that he will make his greatness known in the world again. And he's going to do that through his kingdom army, which is all of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, King Jesus, we come to you now and I ask you, Lord, to give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, and then Lord, use me however you see fit in this message. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. My name is Anthony Ballard, and I'm on our Go and Grow team here at Bell Press, and thank you again all for being here, and those of you online, thank you for joining us today. Last summer, in the summer of 2020, during the many Black Lives Matter protests, I saw one particular flyer for a protest happening in Seattle. And the protest named eight different societal issues that it wanted to address. And it was things like education justice, policing and housing, and economic justice, and justice in our legal system, and even climate justice. Each of these issues was more complex and layered than the last one. And reading that flyer made me very overwhelmed. And at the same time, I was also reading extensively the anti-social justice rebuttal articles because I needed to know what every side thought of what was happening. But doing this made me even more overwhelmed. And I was on staff here at Bell Press as the Associate for Justice and Racial Reconciliation, meaning it was my job to know all this stuff. And other churches in our area, they were asking me questions about the Bell Press strategy, and some of them even asked me to preach. And if you guys know my story, I said no every single time. But in my personal life, my white friends were asking me questions about the protests and what to make of it all. And then my black friends needed prayer and they needed hope. The whole planet was protesting and tweeting about what was my job to help guide us through. But then the unthinkable happened, when a peaceful protest in downtown Bellevue was hijacked and turned to looting. And in all this, I had no idea what to do. I didn't know what the third way was. Nothing seemed to agree. I was walking through this valley of dry bones. But then it hit me that in all my reading and in all my talking and posting, I needed to pause on that, and I needed to pray and ask God what to do. So, in this true story, in my desperate attempt, I prayed and asked God, and I said, what do the people want? And he told me they want the kingdom, but they don't know it yet. Amen. And the kingdom he's talking about, of course, is his kingdom, the kingdom of God, which is his rule, it's the government on his shoulders, and it's his way of doing things. Every king has a kingdom. Every kingdom has an army, and every army has a mission, And our God's mission is to remake this earth to be more like heaven, and that is called the kingdom of God. So in verse 10 of chapter 37, Ezekiel says that I saw a vast army, and I want us to hold on to the word army because in modern times we tend to conflate the word army with multitude. But the Hebrew word for army here used is kail, and it literally means military force. So the dry bones that are coming together aren't just a lot of people, but it comes together as a military force, an army. So you may be thinking, I don't want to join the army. That's too bad, because if you're a disciple of Jesus, you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. And if you're a kingdom citizen, you're automatically enrolled in this kingdom army. Because eventually, in this Christian life, you're going to have to fight something, whether it's yourself, your flesh, or the devil himself. You're going to have to fight at some point. And so the question is, what do armies do? Armies engage in conflict. Armies never do anything safe. And armies never do anything easy. And then armies never do anything alone. So you're not part of an army if you're a one-man army. And Belprez, we are, on paper, we are a church of 4,000 people, in person and online. And that is a kingdom army. A few weeks ago, Pastor Dudley said that the church is not an audience to be entertained, but it's an army to be deployed. And I talked with a friend named Paul a little while ago, and he's a former Marine officer, and he said an army is deployed to enforce diplomacy when other forms of diplomacy have failed. And so here's the question. Where have we seen diplomacy fail in our region? Quite a few places, right? But this is why the church on mission is so, so important. And so I knew when I was going to be doing this sermon on armies that I was going to want to throw every Lord of the Rings reference into this sermon, right? You guys know. But the truth is, as I was doing that, I found that those references would miss the mark, because an army of the kingdom is an army without arms. We don't use earthly weapons. So 2 Corinthians tells us that, for although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh, since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. So our weapons are prayer and action, and we do that by doing justice and service to our world. So I want you guys to say this with me: prayer. And action. So when Jesus sends his army into a territory, he doesn't send in people with AR-15s. He sends in the merciful, the meek. He sends in the peacemakers, and he sends in those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are those who seek to treat every person as the image of God. And the peacemakers are people who go into situations of conflict, and they listen to understand, and they create solutions to issues and problems. They make peace in conflict. So Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount of Matthew 5, he's not just blessing people. He's talking to his kingdom army. And he's saying, here's how my army is going to act. Here's how my army is going to pray. Every king is concerned about their reputation. And God wants people to know him and his goodness. He says, the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. And last year, we saw that the whole world was crying out for his justice. So when the church doesn't lead this, we miss an opportunity to let people know the holiness of God's name. Psalm 89:14 tells us that the foundations of God's throne are justice and righteousness. And if it's justice and righteousness, that means that in his kingdom, it's full of this stuff. The kingdom is the goal. And justice is how we show people what the kingdom of God is like. So that flyer that I mentioned with the 8 different social issues, the truth is, none of those issues are impossible for a church like Belprez, because many of you are already in positions to have kingdom influence in your work in these social spheres. As an army, we are already in position to do justice. And again, many of you are in decision-making positions. You don't have to do this stuff alone. We have hundreds of people who work in Microsoft and Amazon and in our school districts. We have an army of people that are already together in position. Now you just have to talk and get organized. Some of you are already doing great things as individuals, but greater things are possible in an army. So if you need help getting started with this, with ideas or prayer or anything, my email is on our website, and I want to hear from you. But give me time to respond if all 4,000 people email me at one time. So the fact is, when the whole world protests about crying out for justice, it means that there is a lack of kingdom. Not because of anything God has done, but it's because his kingdom army has been inactive. And so we need to do justice wherever we live, work, play, and learn. And we can start tomorrow. And this next thing I'm going to mention is a little bit difficult for some of us. And because the truth is, we also have to show up at the protests. See, when you look at the images of the protests and you get past the pictures of propaganda for either side, you see images like these. These are real images from last year's protests. These are the images of the brokenhearted. These are the hearts that Jesus said that he came to bind up. These are people who were not experiencing the kingdom. A friend of mine posted a picture on Instagram. He posted it every single day like clockwork, and about the 60th time that I saw this picture, my heart finally started to break. And it's this picture of a woman with a sign that says, "Show up, church." This is a kingdom woman. Her sign wasn't about justice for George Floyd or Breonna Taylor. She made a sign calling the church, the people of God, to speak life into a dry bone situation. But the question is, where were we? See, many churches did their own protests and demonstrations across the country. And we even did our own called Together We Stand. And it was a time when 700 people from Bel Press showed up, and we stood out on Bellevue Way with signs for peace and racial justice. And for me, this is one of the most special days of the pandemic, during the pandemic last year. But can I challenge this, Bel Press? Yes. Can I? A little bit more? Yeah. Maybe? Okay. While we showed out, we did not show up. Because showing up doesn't look like us standing safely in front of our church building. It looks like us sending an army of prayer warriors into Capitol Hill, into downtown Bellevue to pray for people, to lay hands on people, to listen to their hurt and anger, to create solutions to the issues, which many of us can do. That is what the church, that is what the army that's deployed is all about. And I'm not here to chastise us, but I am here to say, let's remake. So during the week of the verdict for the trial of Derek Chauvin, the officer who killed George Floyd, we were anticipating that if the verdict went one way, protests would possibly turn to riots. So about 20 people from Eastside churches formed a prayer and action team for the protests. And we were going to go to those protests, the scary ones. And we were going to be kingdom people there. And we were going to go with the spirit of Isaiah 61. We were going to go and bind the brokenhearted through prayer and action. We were not going to take sides, but again, bind the brokenhearted. And we will provide physical aid to people like bandages and water. And most importantly, we were going to be explicit about who we were serving, which is Jesus. This group of people were determined to speak life into a dry bone situation. But here's the thing, none of us were excited. In fact, every person was afraid. Because we realized that we were going to these protests and we would likely get cussed out for being Christians. Things would be unpredictable. We'd have to run away from tear gas or fires. This would be dangerous. And so one of the men from our church, his name is Rich Morse, and he's in his 70s, and he was in this meeting and he said, "I'm all in for this, but I'm old and I can't run fast." So we told Rich that he could drive the getaway car and be in prayer at a distance. And I say that because everyone has a role in this stuff. Even if you live at a senior living facility, you have a role in this too. And so Paul, the Marine officer, was there. He asked us, and he said, are we aware that it's possible we can get arrested? And are we okay with that? And then the whole meeting got quiet because none of us wanted to go to jail. And that's when Grace, a woman who's on our justice team here, she said, the gospel is worth my life. And when you really get to know the good news of Jesus, you start to say crazy stuff like that. You become a crazy person in a good way. But this is the third way. It's not clean cut. It's not easy. It might even be a little crazy, but this is how we are supposed to be. And we have time for this team to become an army. Imagine if all 700 of us who were out there for Together We Stand were in downtown Bellevue the night of the protest. How different would that have been? So, our sister in Christ and her words, show up church, are a challenge for us today. Because we can't mistake this current calm for peace. And after the looting in downtown Bellevue, we were a part of the cleanup crew. But now we're an army remade, and we're gonna show up in the chaos, not only after. And I say next time because these protests happen about on a 3 to 4 year cycle. And so when this happens again and the streets of Bellevue are full of protesters and police, they are gonna be met with an army unlike any that King County has ever seen. Amen? But some of us, I understand, are not ready yet for this type of thing. And that's okay, but I don't want you to stay there. So, I have some homework for you, and this is your homework for the next 2 years. And it's two-year homework because I don't preach often, okay? So here's what you're gonna do. Stay in training. If not for yourself, do it for the city. And maybe you're thinking, I'm not good at praying for people. Now you have a reason to grow in your prayer life. And then start praying for others here at church on Sundays where it's easier. Do it in the lobby. Do it while people are around. And then practice receiving prayer from our prayer ministers or pastors. Do it every week, even when life is good. And then lastly, hear the word of the Lord and let it change you. Let the Bible critique even your most favorite opinion, analyst, or influencer. See, if you will not be able to pray for a police officer and or an anti-police protester if you don't with the hindrance of bias. So I also want to make, I don't know who's all here, but I also want to make a special invitation to my African brothers and sisters from New Hope, because I know I'm talking about things related to America, but you are tied to this fight as well. We need you to seek the good of the city to where God has called you. And God has brought you to this city and this country for such a time as this, and we need your help. We need African prayers, and we need African ideas to face this. The nations are not crying out for more church services. They're crying out for the kingdom of God. And I'm not just saying this. All 7 continents held protests for racial justice last year, including Antarctica. Do you know how bad it has to be for Antarctica to protest? We got these people and penguins on the whole place. But all the troubles that we're seeing is because of a lack of kingdom. Afghan refugees, Haitian refugees fleeing broken governments, Americans storming the Capitol to force an earthly government. They all want the kingdom, but they don't know it yet. Does this sound difficult to you? You should nod your head. Yeah, good. It should sound difficult. It should sound super difficult because that now means that we need the Holy Spirit to help us, even a church like Belprez. But thankfully, the kingdom of God is not a place that we're going to. It's a time that God has already ushered in through Jesus Christ. The kingdom was inaugurated with the coming of Jesus, and it's going to be consummated with his second coming. As an army, our victory is already won. But we still have injustice, and people still die. But the difference is that the kingdom is already here, but it's not yet fully here. It's both at the same time. Some of you probably heard the concept of already and not yet. And here's an illustration. This summer, I watched a TV show called Band of Brothers, and it's a true story set in World War II. And it's the story of Easy Company, who's the 2nd Battalion of the 101st Airborne. And they fought in the Battle of the Bulge, they freed a concentration camp, and they were among the first to take over Hitler's Eagle's Nest. And the first time they saw battle was on June 6th, 1944. Some of you know that day. It's called D-Day. And on D-Day, this was the day that the largest armada in human military history had assembled and had been deployed. On D-Day, in the form of 5 huge armies, they established a foothold on Normandy and they planted their Allied flags and they said, "This is our turf." And it was a 20-hour day, and at the end of that 20-hour day, 5 beachheads had been established. And they had been established in such a way that there was never again a question about what would be the outcome of the war, because that had already been determined on D-Day. But 11 months of battles later, we get the next great event of the war, and it's called V-Day, which is the day of victory in Europe. And we need to know that more American lives were lost in that 11-month period between D-Day and V-Day than in all the other years of the war. More lives were lost. But still, there was never a question about how it was going to turn out because of D-Day. It wasn't a question of if people were going to still die or if there were still more battles to be fought. And for the Band of Brothers, there was never a question during the Battle of the Bulge as to whether V-Day was still going to happen. It was just a matter of when. And that, Bel Perez, is how we are supposed to understand the kingdom of God. With the coming of Jesus, God has planted his flag on enemy turf, and he said, "This is my planet." He claims it in the name of the cross. And through the resurrection, he has declared there's going to be a V-Day that is going to complete what has already happened. And our entire existence as Christians is supposed to live, we're supposed to live with the certainty of the future based on what's already happened 2,000 years ago with Jesus Christ. And again, there's never a question of how it's going to turn out. It's simply a matter of when it's going to come to its conclusion. The Bible does not promise us that we're not going to have to fight battles. And there's never even been a promise that we're not going to die. But what we have been promised is that we win no matter what happens. We win if we live, we win if we die, we win in our rejoicing, we win in our suffering, we win even when we make mistakes. And we win because God has already done the winning for us. And all he has to do is bring it to conclusion. Yeah, you can clap for that. And Bel Perez, God has invited us to be a part of Operation Remake. And Operation Remake may cost us our lives or even our livelihood. And that might sound a little crazy, but if it does, talk to a Christian in Iran or China or Afghanistan. You know, we are supposed to live the future in the present, God's kingdom right now. And this is going to make us seem really crazy because it means that we're not just going to create new schools. It means that we're going to recreate our entire school districts. This means that we're going to show up to the messy protests and we're going to preach the good news of the kingdom. And it means that we're going to continue meeting with Seattle police officers and the anti-police people until justice and reconciliation are achieved. And Bel Perez, we are a church remade. We have already done so much good in the world. But we're not going to stop yet. We're not going to stop until it's on earth as it is in heaven. And we're not going to stop until King County is Kingdom County. And we're going to do it together. And we're going to do it with other congregations, and we're going to be a vast army full of the Holy Spirit. And so to close, Ezekiel said, "So I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet, a vast army." So Bel Perez, stand on your feet. Those of you at home, stand on your feet. We are a vast army. And so that word that Ezekiel heard about God's dwelling being with us gets concluded by John in the book of Revelation. And here, this is our kingdom hope. It says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" I'm getting choked up. Happened in sanctuary too. I can finish. "And he said, 'Death shall be no more.'" "Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I'm making all things new.'" So Bel Perez, the day of victory is coming. Let's do like our sister in Christ said and show up, church, wherever we live, work, play, or learn. And even at the protests where people need us. We're kingdom people above all. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're not just our King, but you also are our Father. And God, I pray that you would help us to do everything that we need to do to make your name great and holy again for people who don't know it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.